Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFPL.
Okay! Welcome to FMLFPL Milan! We're back on top. We're flying. Massive hauls in game week 5. How are you doing?
Flying along. Just flying.
God, we're both sinking real fast.
God, I just want to know what it's like to be good at FPL. I just don't know.
Yeah, the only thing in our favor is that it's still very early. We're one good game week away from going up like 500K.
I know, but what is that? Like, what is that like?
What is a good game week?
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, we both had pretty decent starts in Champions League fantasy, so it's something similar to that, I guess.
Can I fucking take a -8 for Tagliafico, or what? Is that doable?
Holland. Can I do that? Just Captain Holland every week, and you'll fly in FPL.
Ugh, God.
So how'd you get on? Where are you at?
All right. 44 second. Straight red arrow off wild card. I don't think that's ever happened to me before.
Yeah, that's rare.
Yeah, it's not great. Captain Raz again, back-to-back blanks there. Mo and Pookie only returns. I got the Robbo assist. I mean, everything. It's just blank. Blank central. Everything is not great. 6 Cantwell, 5 Rico on my bench, of course. You know, that's how it goes for me. And
McGinn was close to points, too. I absolutely hate the feeling in FPL when my only point scorers are the guys that are like the most popular guys in the game. I can't describe that feeling. It's just like,
it's just pointless.
Yeah, it feels like just like an empty slot where I didn't actually get any points.
What about you? What did you get up to?
I destroyed you this week with 45 giant red arrow, like almost 500K right now, so I'm 888K overall. My second straight week where my transfer hauls, so Jerry got, you know, Jerry starts, first of all, which was a shocker, and gets 7 points. He could have had way more than 7 points, too, in the highlights of that game. I didn't watch the game live. And Che blanked. I captained Kevin, who pretty shockingly didn't start. You know, Che hit the post, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm on wildcard now, so I guess I have something to, you know, look forward to, or some way of trying to do better, I guess. I don't know. Dean 0, Ashley Mate Niles 4, just blanks everywhere else. Awful. That's rough week for Team FMLFPL.
It's just awful.
Who had good weeks?
I was actually like Tammy and shit. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. People captain Obbs, like Mane. I guess.
People who captain either Mane, Mo, or Obbs.
Yeah, fucking. I had my vice on Mo, dude. I was so close to getting that. Ugh, that would have been great if Norwich didn't destroy.
Why would good things happen?
Yeah, I mean, that's ridiculous. Fucking Willems on Newcastle Worldie. To just, it's like first 5 minutes or whatever, immediately wipe all the Liverpool cleans. It's just like, okay, cool. Good shit. Yeah, that's basically where we're at. Rough one. Not much else to say about our teams, I think. So, excuse me, housekeeping. We got shout out to the FMLFPL Prizing Search Mug League leader for September so far. Longtime friend of the pod, Ben Ling, aka Ling's Loony Lumps. Leading away. He had an 82-point week in Game Week 5. That's what we need to be doing. That's what that looks like and feels like. And shout-out to the leader of the FMLFPL Public League, Kevin Miles, a.k.a. Milner, barely knower, with an OR of 486. Pretty fucking good. Where do you want to start today?
I don't know, dude.
Oh, I need more from you. I can't do this.
Come on.
I just got home from work. It's like fucking.
Hey, dude. Oh my God. I just ate dinner. I put too much hot sauce and I'm sweating so much right now.
That's good. I want you like on your toes.
I'm not on my toes. I'm on my fucking asshole. I feel like a piece of shit. And I'm looking at my team again. I haven't looked at it since Saturday. I mean, I went radio silence halftime of the West Ham game because I just couldn't take it.
And that was the worst game of the week by far.
And now I have to fucking look at FPL and talk about it. So yeah. I'm having problems right now. I don't know what to tell you.
I think Chelsea are an easy place to start. Tammy, the main man. Wolfgang Jones on Slack said, can we get some Tammy talk? Are we overthinking it? Should we just all put him in our teams? He's been so good, scoring at both ends even. And Jeff D on Slack, do we bring in Tammy versus Liverpool or hold guys with better fixtures?
So I guess first of all, yes. I mean, the price is good. He's looked good. That's fine. But are you concerned at all with this Mount injury? He's going to be out for a little while, it looks like.
Well, I mean, first we need to know the extent of the injury first, right?
I mean, well, yeah, but I mean, he looks like he's going to be, you know, a couple weeks. I mean, his ankle is like pointing the wrong way.
It could be bad. I mean, Mount is obviously like the best attacking midfielder at the club, and he's been creating some chances and stuff like that for Tammy, but. I don't know. I just feel like the way they play, I wish I had more like tactical nous to really understand what he's doing aside from just like sending everybody forward all the time. But it seems like they just are constantly in space, and like Conte is not the best, you know, attacker, but he's way better than Barkley. Him coming in will be
Conte?
Good. Yeah. Him coming in will be good. About? And yeah, I mean, it definitely downgrades him a little, but does it downgrade him enough where we think like Chelsea and West Ham are on the same level in goal scoring with their run? Like, probably not, I don't think.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, the Liverpool game is, I just don't see any urgency there at all. I mean, I don't really get buying him now.
I mean, I get it. It's just,
I don't get it. Make the case for me then, because I just don't understand.
The case for me is just longer term than that. I mean, it wouldn't be shocking if Tammy got a goal versus Liverpool. They have not been tight, especially against.
Okay, but show me the team that is making the swap now that, like, that's great.
I don't know. Allaire. You could talk me into that.
Really?
Yeah, Haller's home, United. They've been statistically the best defense in the league. I don't think they're the best defense in the league, but they play extremely negatively and conservatively and rarely give up chances. And West Ham just put up an absolute stink fest against Aston Villa. I mean, yeah, Chelsea looked good. They, you know, this was a while ago, and Liverpool were playing more poorly, but they scored two goals in the Super Cup and looked really good against Liverpool. And
oh my God,
Napoli just scored two goals, you know? I mean, like,
all right. So Tammy is the thing to do, I guess.
It's different for me and you because I'm also on wild card. So for me, it's like he's playing this week barely matters. It's more.
Yeah, well, that's not. Yeah, of course. I mean,
yeah.
So that's why I'm talking about, like, for the normals like me and all my fucking idiot ass fuck friends, like, what individual transfer are you making there where it's like, that's better than saving?
Yeah, there's probably very few, but I was just seeing it, like, on Slack and stuff. People are talking about double move, you know, injured guy and this to Tammy and Cantwell or something. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably good. You know, like,
if he's part of a
shift, it's probably the right guy to go for.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing, though, checking stats, I mean, Allaire's played like 30 more minutes, but Allaire has better XG and identical XA to Tammy.
Yeah. Allaire's fantastic.
I mean, I have Allaire, and I mean, the goal attempts, I mean, it's 13 for Tammy, 11 for Allaire, and Tammy just a few more penalty area touches on the season. I mean, the minutes, it's not like, oh, if he had 30 more minutes, I mean, Tammy gets subbed every game, and Allaire will never get subbed. So I just, like, for me personally, I have Allaire, and I'm not considering getting rid of him at all. I just don't think that that's where I'm going to get ahead against the field. It's like, how can I fit in Tammy alongside, right? Not instead of.
I agree with that mostly. Yeah.
But I mean, on wild card, like, he's pretty no-brainery, right?
Yeah, it seems that way. I mean, he's overperforming to an absolutely ridiculous extent. I mean, his XG is 2.77 and he has 7 goals, you know? So what does that mean? I'm not sure. The other stats are all really solid, you know, like, his XG per 90 is still extremely good. His shots are still extremely good.
I mean, he has 8 shots on target and 7 goals.
Yeah, it's bullshit. I mean, it's not going to keep up. And at the same time, you like the team. You like the way the team's playing. Just like complete free flow, all-out attack all the time. You love to see that for a fantasy guy. And you like the fact that he's just in the middle of the penalty box every fucking chance they get. Like, it just seems like everything is all about him and he's making defenses pay. I don't know. It's hard because from a pure statistical performance, it would be like, well, obviously he's just going to, like, stop doing this. And then you look at the fixtures and the way the team is playing and you're like, well, Chelsea are going to probably still score a lot of goals. Brighton home, away Southampton, home Newcastle, away Burnley, away Watford. I'm like, yeah, they're probably still going to score a lot of goals, and therefore he's probably going to be a part of it. So it's hard early doors to kind of weigh those things against each other. But he looks fucking great. No question about that.
Yeah, it looks good. Hudson-Odoi, too, Cho, looks like he is very, very close to returning.
Yeah, that's a huge, huge one.
Yeah, he's been playing like under-21s or whatever to get fitness. But 5'9", I mean, he's someone definitely to keep a very, very close eye on, for sure, I think.
Yeah, and again, he'll make just Chelsea just better. Like, they have all these guys that are just going to keep making them better. Like, Ross Barkley's playing minutes. Like, anyone in place of him is just makes the team way better, so.
Barkley?
Barkley.
What are you up to, Alana? I'm not ready for this. Like,
I said anyone who plays minutes ahead of him makes the team better.
Oh, ahead of him. Okay.
God damn it, dude.
God, just relax.
We usually pod Monday morning, and this is Tuesday night, and we're just totally out of sync. It's clear. Rob Pion Slack said, and Simple Mug, we're both looking for mount replacements. So if he is out for, like, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks, what are you looking to do there?
What is he, like, 6'5 now?
Yeah, I think like 6'3 or something. Yeah, 6'5, you're right.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a little bit annoying with the fixtures, but I think Madison should be, you know, thought of. He's a little bit more expensive, but if you have that money, I mean, they have Spurs and Liverpool too, the next 3, but by and large, you know, basically till January or Christmas time, they have a good run. And as cunty as he is, he should, you know, tick along. So, I mean, I think that's more of, you know, I guess a differentially rogue pick that not too many folks have. But I like him.
Yeah, another sort of differential that we talked about, I think, last week is James. I mean, he still just, like, looks good all the time. And he's still just shooting on site all the time. The fixtures are the wrong color when you look at the, you know, official FPL bullshit, but they're just wrong. I mean, away West Ham, home Arsenal, away Newcastle, those are totally fine. Then they have Liverpool, and then they have a really good run, you know? So
it just looks so bad.
Yeah, they're so, so bad attacking, but everything, like, on the other hand, everything is kind of through him, it seems like, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's other guys. I mean, I still think Cantwell. I mean, what more do you need? What more proof do you need than the performance he put in against City? I think it's at the point where you can probably just start him every week and feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I guess I wasn't really thinking of him as a replacement because a lot of people, like, kind of have him as their fifth or whatever. But yeah, at his price and the way they play, how far forward he gets on the pitch, you know, he looks like Griezmann, which is great for everyone. He's probably start every week.
Yeah. It's like, again, he only had one shot, but his one shot was a wide open net on a fantastic counterattack. So I don't know what to do. They're just going to keep getting these chances, and then you want that.
Yeah. He's just so far forward. I mean, he finds space and he's really good on the counter. I mean, it's basically they're going to be like him or Pukki on the counter. I mean, one of them is going to get the chance as we're seeing, you know, with Buendia maybe like setting them up a little bit more. But you know, I mean, just looking at their fixtures, and again, you know, it's really just judging them by the way that they set up and the way that they play. I mean, they're not your typical like bottom half team setting up with two low blocks or, you know, playing for the 1-0 off the counter and being tight. So as long as they keep playing this way, even though all their players are dead, you know, they're going to be scoring a couple goals a game. And he is a good bet to be in there, even though, like you say, you know, one shot, the underlying stats are definitely not, you know, fantastic, but they've still, you know, they've only, there's only five games in, and they've played Chelsea, Liverpool, and City in those five games.
Exactly what I was about to say. And even away West Ham is, you know, they were just fucked up and had a bad match. The one kind of home banker that they had was the Pukki hat trick game, and Cantwell's stats were absolutely absurd in that game. I mean, again, he only had one shot, but he had created five chances and had two assists. So
yeah,
they haven't really had opportunities to play the way they actually want to play, the way they wanted to play in the championship, and eventually did, and had that, went on like an insane run and won the championship, which is just dominating the ball against teams that are worse than them. And you look at their next three, it's away Burnley, away Palace, home Villa. They should be dominating the ball and creating a lot more chances in those games than they did, you know, in all of the previous five except Newcastle. So, yeah, I think...
I mean, Turf Moor is a tough place to go, but...
I mean, yeah, but...
Yeah. I mean, you know it is. It always is.
It always is, but still, I expect more from Cantwell and Pukki against Burnley than I would against, you know, City, Liverpool, etc.
That's for sure. I don't think there's a ton of options. Yeah, I mean, James, I mean, Buendia is more of a pump, but... You don't want that when you have Cantwell for a million less at this point. Wobbs is a big punt, but I don't know. Ceballos.
Gineppo, people are talking about a little bit.
Because he fucking scored one goal. I mean, I'm not anywhere near that right now.
He's played two games, basically, and scored really nice goals in both games.
The fixtures are really bad, and I still don't think he knows their best team, and I don't know if he's in the best 11. I just don't. I think it's way too premature.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I saw people talk about McGinn, people talk about McNeil, but like all of these guys are way lesser, in my opinion, than the guys we just talked about. I'm scanning through to see if there's anyone else, but I don't know. Those seem like the strongest guys.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah, that's about it. We need to definitely address just defense in general and the lack of clean sheets, and we got a ton of questions about them. I'll read three here. Ozzy on Slack: even after this weekend's events, I still believe that big at the back is the way to go. Am I deluded? How many data points do we need to gather before we decide that a strategy like double Liverpool defense is not working? It's harder to determine IMO than whether an individual player is. Eric B. followed up to that and said further to his question, last season, City and Pool both cleaned more than half their league matches. So far this season, they have 3 cleans and 10 combined matches. At what point do we stop attributing City and Pool's difficulty cleaning to variance? And last one, Ian on Twitter, with the lack of clean sheets, rather than putting in premium assets, should we be looking at playing the fixtures more and rotating? I have Maguire, but I don't like the look of Man U's fixtures, so I'm considering a move. Go well, Ian. You know, there were more questions. Max, Ben Urfi, Al, Bryce, DW, SK. But everyone's kind of freaking out about, like, what to do on defense. And to be honest, as someone on wildcard, it's really fucking hard to figure out, like, I basically have to project, you know, 10 game weeks into the future or something and try and figure out what to do at the back.
Well, I mean, you're, I think, probably well better positioned than I am to answer this. I mean, you're on wild card. The world is your oyster. What are you like leaning towards? Like, what do you keep finding yourself thinking?
I keep finding myself with Trent. He just seems so good. Like, his numbers this weekend, just as an example, are just absolutely massive. Like, he could have scored a couple of goals and gotten a couple of assists. It would have been crazy. You know, I'm still certain that he'll get the occasional rotation. It might even be this weekend, but he's basically just a 7 million attacker. And if you compare him to the 7 million midfielders, it's pretty good. Like, his points total compares well to the majority of them, you know.
He's not a defender, so that's a good feather in his cap.
Exactly. So yeah. That's a guy that I feel like Liverpool will probably come back to earth and clean more regularly than 1 in 5. I think everyone can pretty much agree on that. But then from there on, I'm finding it a big struggle. Like someone like Dean, I've kind of just not tinkered with him really at all on my wild card. I'm just like, Everton's defense looks shambles. The occasional assist isn't good enough to pay 6-2 with the emerging cheap guys like Pookie, Tammy, Cantwell, Mount, everyone that we just mentioned. It's just not good enough. And then going double Liverpool is also kind of hard, like Trent Robbo, because again, there's just so many good attackers that I want, that it's honestly just hard to fit them all in. So I've been kind of going in my tinkers, which haven't been that extensive so far, with like Trent, Lundstrom, Rico, and find two other 4-5s that rotate or something like that. One kind of very under the radar guy that I've had my eye on is Vertonghen. He dropped all the way down to 5-3. They have a really nice run of next four fixtures before Liverpool. And you know, they're getting all their guys back, and that's good. You know, so I feel like maybe I'll sort of find one other, not premium, but like, you know, upper middle price guy, a start every week guy to go alongside Trent, and then one rotating spot I feel like is better. But I might just end up going with like two rotating spots. I'm not sure.
I think like Trent, Vert, Lowton, Lundstrom, and Rico or some fucking shit stain is fine.
Literally exactly what I have in right now.
Yeah.
It's so hard though, you know.
I mean, the thing with Trent, just it's dumb. I mean, to keep talking about him is, I mean, he has fucking 21 chances created.
Yeah, no, he's
21.
He's doing 21 stupid stuff right now.
And I mean, Robbo's stats are, you know, they're still good for like a fullback, but
really good.
They're nowhere near like Trent's.
Yeah, Robbo should have scored this weekend too.
Yeah, he could have 2 goals this season. I mean, I still think he's fine, but yeah, I mean, you're looking at kind of tricky fixtures in the near term, and you know, they're having this tendency to concede one a game like Spurs of old, and you know, he has. Like, Robbo has 2 returns in 5, which isn't, you know, bad. It's just not what you're hoping for. And it's tough. I mean, I get it. It's tough to spend $7 million on him when you're on wildcard, right? I mean, you're trying to look around for money.
Yeah.
To fit in, like, you know, Tammy. And I mean, we're at the point now where before the season started, we're looking at, you know, Dean, Trent, Robbo, whatever, Van Dijk, these 6.5+ million defenders, and we're comparing them to these unknown quantity $7 million and under forwards who we just didn't know what they were doing or what they were going to be doing.
Right.
And it was easier game week one to pick the defender because it's like, okay, we know they're good, like Laporte back then too or whatever. But now we're, you know, we've seen a lot out of like Allaire and Pookie and Abraham, like first few game weeks Cantwell, to kind of project.
Now, like, there's a lot of guys. Yeah,
yeah, a lot of guys in that price, in that six and a half million price bracket defense. You know, midfield and forwards that you could, you know, argue very capably of going there instead of, you know, the defense. But yeah, I think Vertonghen's a pretty shrewd pick as long as he doesn't put Davinson back in, which, you know, could happen this weekend. I expect it to happen soon, but
it depends what the magic eight ball says. I swear he just sits at his fucking desk and shakes the magic eight ball and puts that person out right back.
Nothing would be more surprising to me than after they just have the best performance of the season that they go to Leicester and he makes like 6 changes.
Yeah, or a man of the match and then is just like not in the squad. Yeah, no. So yeah, it feels like we're on similar pages. I mean, addressing Liverpool, I think it's kind of funny, but people keep forgetting that Alisson hasn't played. Like, no, Alisson has conceded 0 goals this season. He came off injured in game week one. Like, Liverpool are having this tendency to concede one sort of like consolation goal or one worldie or something like that. Like, that's what Alisson saves, and then they keep it clean. It's like, I feel like people should, I understand where the questions are coming from, and I totally am questioning it myself as I'm on wildcard. But at the same time, it's like, where is questioning Liverpool's clean sheets coming from? And would we still be questioning it if fucking Willems doesn't score a worldie on his weak foot? Because I don't think we would. I think if Liverpool kept it clean, and the rest of that match was a complete cakewalk joke.
Yeah, there was no...
Absolute nothing. Joke of a game.
I mean, he didn't make one save, Adrian.
Yeah, it was a non-contest. So what are we talking about if that is just a 3-0 and everyone's happy with their Liverpool clean sheet points? Are we getting any of these questions in? Because I feel like we're not.
Okay, that's fair. Well, let's shift to, I mean, that's fine. And I mean, the Adrian Allison, I mean, I guess of the four goals conceded, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, like maybe two-ish, like 1.5 to 2 would be attributed to Adrian. Could have maybe done better. But I mean, by and large, I don't think he's been a problem for them. Like it's not like, oh,
directly his fault, the Southampton one.
Yeah, yeah, that one. But I mean, the Norwich one wasn't, the Arsenal one wasn't, the Newcastle one wasn't. So I guess that's about it.
But if Allison makes one big save, then one of those is a clean.
Yeah, fair. Okay, and let's shift over to City, though, because, I mean, I think that they have bigger problems.
Yeah, they just straight up have a defensive problem in the shape of Fernandinho, it seems like.
I mean, what's the solution? Is he going to just play him? Because he's fucking fit. He's just sitting on the bench.
I don't know what the hell he's doing with him, and he's maybe has been grooming him all summer for center back. That's what he's telling the media. Maybe Fernandinho lost a step. He's fucking old and niggling injuries all of last season. I really don't know, but when I watch City, because they're still suppressing shots in similar fashion. Like, they're still by far best in the league in shots conceded, which is good and normal, and that's what you expect from City. The difference is the shots that they are conceding are really good ones, and their XG is really bad for City. It's usually... By far, the XG allowed is usually by far best in the league, and now they're down to fifth. And that's where I'm seeing the problems. And a lot of it, from my eyes, are just on the counter. Like, Bournemouth was on the counter, Norwich were on the counter, blah, blah, blah. And that's where Dino is just, like, interception, tactical foul, tackle, you know, just something. And I feel like they're just getting sort of overrun by these counters and people breaking the press and stuff like that. So I don't know the solution, and Pep is 1,000 times smarter and better than me at everything, so I back him to sort it, but at the moment, it feels like a major problem.
So, I mean, I don't know. But in terms of FPL, like, what are we looking at here? Like, Mendy's, well, they're going to play tomorrow, so we'll have to see what he does indeed. I suspect there'll be... Maybe Cancelo comes in. I mean, we don't have Mendy. Maybe he'll be on the bench or whatever. We don't know what the center back's going to look like. Yeah, but
Stones and Laporte are both out.
Yeah, I mean, what are we...
Yeah, so, I mean, I still think your Otamendi pick is basically fine. But I... No, I really do. I know I sound like a fucking idiot, but, like, I still think it's basically fine. The main thing that I'd be scared of is just him getting fucking dropped more than, like, City not figuring it out.
Yeah, dude. No shit. Like,
no, but
that's
a lot of
people
are just cutting him because they're like, oh, he's horrible and City are horrible at defending. And I'm like, well, they'll probably be fine. But yeah, in terms of the personnel, I just have absolutely no idea. I guess we're back to the stage where, like, Walker's the most nailed because he can play center back or right back, and he's probably better than any other center back any other fit center back at the club right now. And Ederson is still 6-1 and obviously nailed. But
I mean, do you hold Zinchenko? A lot of people still have him.
I think I just hold Zinchenko until it happens.
Like, the first game Mendy starts in the league over him, then you just immediately transfer him out?
I think so. Because Mendy's obviously 50 times the player, so
once
it happens, it's probably done. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what else to do there. I don't even know if Stones out makes them better or worse defensively. And
what happened to him?
Some sort of knock, something came out this morning, like out 4 to 5 weeks out of nowhere, kind of.
He's such a little pussy.
He's such a bitch. It's insane.
He can't play more than one game. It's like, it's absurd.
I know. And all of the everything, media and everything, is just because they're English, probably. It's just shitting all over Otamendi. And don't get me wrong, he was...
Stones was so bad.
Otamendi was terrible. And most glaring mistake of the game. Stones was awful, also.
He was so bad.
A joke. Like, all of them were just awful the whole game. So I don't know. I genuinely don't know what they're going to do, what Pep's going to do, but I do feel like they'll figure it out. But it's very easy on Wildcard to just not go there at all because it's a fucking mess.
He needs to start playing Mahrez, dude.
Mahrez is great.
He needs to just free him. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, record transfer. He just rides the bench. And their depth is just silly.
I really don't get it with Mahrez that he doesn't play him more, dude.
Yeah, I would like to see more Mahrez.
I mean, I would like it
if Kevin started too. That would have been cool for me.
Hey, okay. Okay, I don't want to talk about that anymore. All right, what else do we have?
Come on, Sute.
Come on.
Arsenal/OBS questions. We have Frankenstein on Slack. Arsenal have a ridiculous fixture run. It seems time for one of OBS or Pepe. For most of us, this would mean giving up one of our City assets, such as Kev, Kun, or Raz, or a Liverpool asset, Mo or Mane. Who would you give up and why? And then Pat Dowling on Slack said, is it worth considering making moves to have OBS in over Salah? Liverpool have away Chelsea, away United, Spurs, City in the next seven, while OBS has a very nice run. The question comes down to who scores more in the short term. I can't find a way in for him. I've been trying.
Excuse me?
What?
Excuse me?
I can't figure out a way to get OBS into my wildcard team.
OBS?
I keep clicking X and clicking OBS, and then a giant red thing is like, you're $4 million over budget. I'm like, let me try that again. And I click out OBS and put back in some piece of shit, and then I do it again, and it's still just there. I don't know.
So... I mean, the core of this, crux of the question is, like, if you have Mo, Raz, you know, Kun, Kevin, or whatever, would you drop any of them for OBS? I mean, I think no. I think the answer's still
straight
no
up no, and that's why I haven't been able to find a place for him. I feel like the best argument would be Kun.
No, why?
Because soon he'll probably start playing 60 minutes again once Jesus is fit. That's really the only reason. Like, if you're going to tell me Aguero's playing 90 minutes over the next 6 weeks, then absolutely not.
Yeah, that's fair.
And also, I mean, this is, we always kind of mention this in passing, but it is a factor. But midfielders score more points. Like, they get more points for their goals, and they get clean sheet points, which have been few and far between, but they get them. And I think that's another factor. I mean, there's so many... great OBS matches where he just finishes on six. And I feel like Salah and Raz and Kevin are more frequently hitting the double digits and stuff like that. I mean, I love OBS, and I think he'll consistently return points in this period, but I just don't know if it's like enough points. Also, Arsenal are fucking mess too.
I think that's the major kicker to me.
Yeah, the difference in the team is
it's so
ridiculous.
It's such a big, big gulf. And I mean, OBS really needs to make the most of his like little chances he has, because we watch Arsenal get dominated for half against Watford. We don't watch Liverpool or City get dominated for a half against anyone. And that's a concern to me. I mean, even though on paper, you know, oh, Arsenal versus like Bournemouth, like, oh, great fixture, they're going to be great. Like, they could just lose that game.
Yeah.
But City did lose, actually lost this weekend, but they still like had so many chances. Like Raz had like seven shots, multiple chances created, even though he blanked. I mean, Kun scored. It's just,
and this
I like
was all without
that.
Kevin too. It's like,
the yeah, City, without yeah. Kevin and, I mean, Mo is similar, right? I mean, he has a brace against Arsenal already, and he has six returns in five game weeks, and he's the best player in the league. They're the best team in the league, and we learned last year what happens when we doubt Liverpool with tough on-paper fixtures they just roll. They just keep rolling. So I don't really look at the fixtures. The only thing, I guess, is captaincy. But even still, I don't know. I still just like the Liverpool and the City players more than Obbs.
Yeah, and the thing also with, you were talking about the team, which I totally agree with, you know, the fact that, like, Arsenal get outshot by, like, five times against Watford is not ideal for, you know, the forward. But it's also Emery. I mean, it's gotten to the point where it seems like he has no fucking idea what he's doing. And I don't know what system they're going to be. I mean, I'm sure he'll, like, drop Ozil and Ceballos next week, and they'll have no creators. And who knows what the fuck he's going to do in Europe, too. I mean, we'll know. We'll have a rough idea on Thursday, but it's just, I don't know. We have such known quantities that Liverpool and City are the best two teams and the highest scoring teams. And it's just, I just feel so much safer with them.
Yeah, the Europa thing is a big thing too, right? I mean,
like, Laka's even hurt, so is he just going to play all of them?
Yeah, and I think the important thing to think of too with Europa is, I mean, they go on Thursday and it really, like, fucks up their prep for the weekend because they get back, you know, so late, even if they, you know, they're usually going to play on Sunday. But, like, when you have Champions League on Tuesday, right, like, you get back Wednesday, like, maybe it's the same amount of days, but their squad's, like, thinner. We don't know what he's going to do. And it just seems not great.
Yeah, and the manager, again, it's like, who do you trust more with a short window, 2 days of prep, Pep, Klopp, or Emery? It's just like, I don't trust him, you know? Like, at this point, I know that Arsenal fans are beginning to turn on him. I was kind of giving him a lot of patience last season too, but, like, at this point, I'm just like, he doesn't know how to... He just got, like, destroyed by Kike Sanchez Flores. In his first game back for Watford, they just, like, out-tacticsed Emery, and that's supposed to be the one thing that he's really good at, is, like, sort of making a big halftime change and changing tactics. It just seems like he's just, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Shaka just has his kids hostage.
Yeah, he is just nailed. He cannot,
they're in the well.
He cannot unnail himself.
Yeah. He has, like, his kids in the well, like, dropping lotion down for them, and he's just, the fact that he keeps picking him is, I mean, it's like Poch keeps picking Lamella. It's like, I don't know. I don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, at least Lamella scoring goals, not conceding penalties. There's a big difference there.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Meanwhile, Torreira, just all he does all day in London is drink Monte. He can't get inside for his fucking life.
It's just, yeah. All right. But I mean, then there's the other thing, right? Neither of us have Obbs. And he just hauled, and he hasn't blanked once. So are we just talking ourselves out of it because it's, like, harder to get to him?
Well, I'm on wild card, so it's not hard to get to him. You know, I very much have been on the, you know, Salah, Raz, Kevin, can I fit in Obbs? And then can I take out any of those guys for Obbs? And it just feels so bad. It just feels, like, dumb and bad. So for me, it's not that at all.
What are you looking at with your Liverpool spots outside of Trent and Mo? Are you trying to fit, like, Mane in? Or, I mean, I guess that you can't.
You just can't.
I mean, are you looking at Bob, or are you doing, like, a Matip, or what?
I have, as of now, I only have Trent and Mo.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bob is interesting, but there's so many cheap forwards that are just doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's tough to argue for him when you have, like, Pukki and Abraham and shit.
The last thing about Mo is that someone in Slack was like, yeah, he is, like, bad against the big six, like, blah, 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 blah. And I just pulled up the stats because I was like, is he? And it's just, like, so untrue. It's just, like, he has Chelsea this weekend. He's five goals and nine against Chelsea, and, you know, they have Spurs coming up. He has 6 goals and 9 against Spurs. And, you know, United, okay, United he hasn't scored against, I think, under Liverpool. But, like, the big games have not actually, you know, slowed him down at all. And like you said last season, when everyone got rid of him, we all got fucking Kane for the run, is when he just went insane.
Oh, God.
And scored, like, he scored, like, 10 goals in 7 games or something. So, I don't know.
The one other thing with Mo is, I mean, we keep beating on about this with him being the best player, but I mean, his stats, like, compared to Obbs is not at all a comparison. Like, Mo just shits in every orifice of Obbs. He has he has like double pen touches.
Yeah.
And he has, I mean, it's just his XG is higher, his XA is like four times. He has like 10 chances created to four. The only thing that they're like similar in is the shot attempts and stuff. But yeah, Mo is just, I mean, people going without Mo, I just still, it's just like, come on, guys. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, I Mane over Mo, you could talk me into that. We talked about that 2 weeks ago and it looked good this week.
Yeah, the million.
The million, et cetera. But yeah, I mean, both those guys are real good.
What about Mane versus Raz? Because that's starting to maybe be something we should talk about.
That's interesting.
Like, what is Raz? Like, why or how is Raz better? Because he maybe is just not better.
I think it's probably the creativity. You know, like, Raz is every year getting, you know, double digit assists. You know, he had 15 last year, 17 the year before. I expect them to finish similarly in goals. You know, maybe Mane outscores him by 2 or 3 or something, 4 maybe. But, you know, Mane is not the most creative. I mean, he underperformed his creativity last season, but, you know, he's still not he's not the Salah of the team who's going to get like 10 or something. And certainly they don't play the way City plays, where everyone is just getting, you know, XA out of control every game. So yeah. I think that's probably...
Mane has more chances created than Raz right now this season.
This season?
It's a small sample size, but yeah. I mean, 4 more.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. I mean, the Raz's shots are... But I mean, I guess Raz has been really inflated from like the hat trick game or whatever, but I mean, the last two, he's kind of like back on the left a little bit.
Yeah, I mean...
Kevin didn't play. I don't know. I mean, I have captained in the last 2 weeks and it's been an absolute nightmare.
Yeah.
But, you know, he did this last year a lot, right? Like, he would go on these little mini runs of just being completely invisible.
Yep.
And it's really frustrating. Like, we talked about him last year as not really being captainable. It was more to the rotation point than the, like, the performance point. But what do we do? We just hold him? I mean, there's just nothing more to do. You just keep him.
And you're almost contradicting yourself, because we just talked about how fucking amazing he was against Norwich. Like, he...
Fuck, Alan, I'm in fucking 1 million rank. I'm a walking contradiction.
He had 6 shots at 0.81 XG, and he had 4 chances created for 0.62 XA. Like, he was unplayable. He just got super unlucky. If guys finish their chances...
And he got outscored by McGinn.
Yeah, exactly. He got outscored by what was everyone.
What are we up to?
Yeah, I think Raz is still just great and easy hold.
I'm losing it, dude. I'm just losing it.
I sort of feel like I'm losing it, too. So, I don't know. I need to do well in this wild card or UCL. Or this is turning into a UCL fantasy podcast. We'll see. We got some questions, Graham, on Slack. You've mentioned at Alan, so I guess this is just all me.
I can't answer it.
Yeah, just go to the bathroom or something. At Alan, you've mentioned the passes received heat maps several times this year. I know you tend to take a more stat-orientated approach compared to Walsh. What are your primary sources for stats? It can make a difference with different outlets using different XG models, etc. Oh, like what websites do I use and shit? Is that what he's asking?
I'm not allowed to answer, so I wasn't really listening.
Okay, well, great.
Great, Alon. Great.
Yeah, I don't know. I use the same shit that everyone else uses. I use Understat. I use Who Scored. I use FFS for the
Stats Bomb.
Yeah, Stats Bomb. They have good articles for the team XG. I tend to look at Kaylee's, friend of the pod, Kaylee. Yeah, I mean that's the sources I generally use. I like to use more than one because I don't really trust that one is going to be like perfect and tell me everything I need to know. Sometimes there's a big discrepancy on, like, Opta says something is a big chance, and, you know, on Kaylee's it's a shitty chance, and I have to think about why is this that, and watching, you know, matching that with my eye test and being like, yeah, I don't think that's a big chance either, or something like that. But yeah, it's all mixing and matching.
Okay, good. So what's up with Wildcard? Are you like, how are you doing? Because I'm like getting sad.
Wildcard?
Are you doing okay with Wildcard? We haven't even really talked about it that much.
We've mentioned it in passing. I mean, I've been tinkering a lot. I think where I'm kind of at is super template template-y, but that's not really bad. As of now, the main like differentials, if you want to call them that, in my team are probably Vertonghen and Sun.
Oh God, dude, you're gonna have two Spurs players. You know how that's gonna go.
Sun is different.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if there's a Venn diagram of Spurs hateable Spurs players, Sun is like somewhere else. He's
not on either of the bubbles or in the middle thing.
He's lovely. He's just. I love everything about him, and he's so fucking good. So that's Son. I don't know about Vert. I don't know what I'm going to do in defense. We talked about that already. But otherwise, I mean, it's pretty template. It's Pukki, Abraham, Salah, Sterling, Kevin, Cantwell, Trent, and a bunch of trash. And then I'm on Gunn at the back right now. I'm not sure between, like, Gunn and Pope. I don't know. They're all... No one's really keeping any cleans. I'm like, yeah, maybe Southampton have been good last few games. Maybe they're good. I like Gunn, too.
Gunn's rate him. Really good.
Yeah, I just like him, and yeah. I like Ralph, and I kind of like Southampton. So, yeah, there haven't been any, like, nightmare. Huge diversions in what I'm thinking, other than, like, trying to tinker in with OBS and stuff that we already mentioned. But I also haven't been tinkering, like, that hard. I'm kind of waiting for, like, Champions League to finish. I've mainly just been farming, like it's fucking World of Warcraft out here. I'm just farming my resources. Getting the farm merchants going.
That was good.
But nothing that shocking outside of what I already mentioned.
Do you think you're gonna like do good?
Well, I don't.
FPL?
I don't, but you're the one who told me that like I usually do well on my first wild card.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, to me, that's like that was like sort of shocking when you told me that. I was like, oh, okay. Okay, yeah,
usually what your thing is, you do well for like the first like 4 or 5 weeks after wildcard, and then you have 1 week where you do something insane, and then you just tank.
I was going to ask what the catalyst is between like me doing well and tanking.
That's the catalyst.
That's it right there.
There's like a triple -4 move or like a -8 four transfer move, and you're just like, you lose it. And then you're just fucking.
That's bad. That seems
so
bad.
So don't do that. Don't do that.
Oh, I need you back, you know, keeping me on track and shit. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I'll do okay. Although I do have this feeling in FPL that I've mainly started since last season, which obviously for listeners who were around last season, I had a complete nightmare last season. But I just feel like I'm going to wildcard into something and then I'm going to still feel behind. Like there's going to be some omission in my team and I'm going to be like, fuck, I still don't have this guy and like I'm still not doing well or something like that. Like,
you don't want to be there.
Maybe that's like Allaire. Like maybe I should have Allaire plus 2 million over Son. You could talk me into that.
There's no way I would have Son on my wildcard team if I was wildcarding right
Why?
Now. Why? Because Spurs are a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, but
you realize how bad we were.
Did you
watch the game?
I mean, you guys were. Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Like the team is a fucking mess, and they have a pretty tricky Champions League group. Like,
right?
I think that they're bad. I think they have a really bad dumb manager who picks a bad team, and I think they're bad.
So am I really going to go with like Abraham, Allaire, Pukki?
Yeah. I mean, even Colum is like very shout worthy, but I can't really. Colum. I don't really have time. What? He's been good. He hasn't blanked yet.
I just love the name Colum. It makes me laugh every single time instead of Callum.
Like, I can't really accept that Son's worth 2 million more than these players. Like, I just don't agree with that.
Yeah, it's probably wrong. 2 million is a lot.
So much.
Yeah.
Like, Son was 8 last year when everyone was buying him. Like, that's a lot less than when he's 9-6 right now. Like, that's a lot less.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'm overthinking it with Son. It seemed, it's not point chasing, but it's definitely, like, recency bias. Like, he just exploded, and I'm like, fuck, Son is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, he's good, obviously, but, I mean, I don't know, 9-6? Like, I don't think he's that...
Yeah, I still just feel so sketchy with going with like 3 budget forwards, though, I have to say. Like,
Yeah, but we're beyond that now because we have a reasonable amount of like information to base the fact of like between the four players we just mentioned, like three of them are good. And if you determine that you only want two, like easy double swap and go 4-4-2 or whatever, right?
Yeah, that's probably right. There's enough enough mids that are also similarly priced, I guess, for a double swap. Like even if there's not, even if a forward doesn't emerge, I could always like go back to Mount or some other guy that's doing well or something like that. Yeah, that's fair.
Trossard.
Yeah, Trossard when he's back. I mean, like Maupay is good. Yeah.
I mean, this is, you're going to laugh at me, but what do you think about Eriksen? 8-8.
I mean, he's
like, that's what I'm interested in. Not
that's one more way. Reasonable than Son, I would say, because Eriksen has the track record, especially without trips there on set pieces, of being a 200 point player, being like a Kev for 8-8. I guess he's like never. I guess he's just nailed now because they didn't sell him, so he's just back to being nailed. is that like what I'm led to believe here? I guess.
I mean, well, as long as Lo Celso and Domballs is out, yeah, but I don't know what he's doing. I mean, I don't know what Pochettino does or thinks, so I couldn't really say. But at the moment,
he's
not. I mean, he's not an 8-8 priced FPL asset. Like, we know that. I mean, he's always more than that, and he just is a tick machine. Bat machine, so I don't know. I mean, that's like maybe. I mean, maybe that's just stupid because then you're in the territory of, well, Son. I mean, 0.8 is still a lot when you're up in this region.
0.8's a lot, yeah.
It's a lot. I don't know, Eriksen's just, you know, but you know how I am with Eriksen.
No, I mean, he's really good. I haven't really considered him, but those price drops are pretty significant. I mean, the 0.8 rounded to a million or something like that. Like, Son being a million more is it does not line up. I do wonder if, like, the fall of Kane makes Son better because Kane is just really bad now. And just,
yeah, Kane's like, just bad.
He's just, like, a central midfielder, link-up player. He's just, like, a bad all-air. And Son is way further forward and taking more shots and, like, et cetera, et cetera. I wonder if that affects Son positively.
That is a good point. I mean, the last two games, Son was playing out of position striker.
Yeah, that's,
I guess I'm still
striker.
Just like, I haven't like snapped my head around that. That might be what the future is, and he's just striker, and Kane is a midfielder.
Right.
If that happens, then Son's worth 9-6.
I mean, just it's such a small sample size, but the last three seasons, four actually, Son has been around 3 shots per 90. And so far, in very small sample size, he's at 4.5 shots per 90. And just like...
But last season, he played that bulk when Kane was dead, right?
Yeah.
So that's a tough amount of games to judge.
Yeah. I'm just saying his shots are up and stuff. It could be...
No, yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good. That's a good job by you.
Something to think about.
What about... I mean... Arsenal play Thursday. Ozil's not in the team. I mean, what do you think?
Then he's just nailed in my wild card.
Right?
I'm just kidding. No, he's not nailed. Although he was so good. Oh, I had such a funny moment with producer Nate last night. We were hanging out watching the Jets be horrible, and we were talking about the Arsenal game because I didn't see it, and I was kind of asking him and something, and Nate was like trying to find this highlight to show me, this like dummy from the match to show me, and he was like looking on his phone, and he was just like, he wasn't really talking to me, he was basically talking to himself. We were just sitting on the couch, and he just goes like, I just hear him under his breath go like, he's so good, he's so good. And I was like, oh my god, such an Arsenal thing to happen. Oh,
he is,
he's fucking amazing.
He was so good.
Love him. Absolutely love him.
Oh, maybe I because we're going to be hanging out on Sunday to watch the game, and Liverpool and Arsenal are playing at the same time on Sunday at 8:30. But I mean, you know, both games will be on. But like, I want a whistle for the game.
We need to find a good bar to go to. If anyone has a New York City footy bar that they really love, pass it along, because Walsh is coming to New York. IRL pod next week.
It's. I could wake up after the deadline with Ozil on my team. That's actually a thing that could happen. It is.
Don't,
it's true.
Don't go
it's
down
true.
There yet. Don't do it yet.
It's true. I mean, McGinn, like, come on. What am I doing here?
Dean Silvant's like had a good philosophical question that I really like, so I'm going to pop that off. He said, I find it interesting that for the most part, the questions that are asked every week are largely the same or slight variations of each other. Given this and the fact that you guys are probably, the fact that you both probably spend a large amount of time pondering these questions, what are the questions that we are not asking?
I mean, I think the number one thing that comes to mind just without, you know, hearing this before it came into my, you know, right now is like how to get ahead. Like, I think that everyone spends a lot of time looking at, you know, who did well last week and, you know, who are the popular transfers and stuff. But I don't feel like people spend enough time looking in the medium term and projecting like who's going to be good.
Yeah, that's the key, right? Who's going to be good? Who's going to be the next trend? Not who's trendy now is probably a lot more significant.
Yeah, and we talk about, you know, the risk about, you know, not having to be like first to the well or whatever, which is valid, but it also comes with a lot of times when we're talking about that, we're talking about like very unproven, like punty guys.
Oh, yeah, who, or not nailed guys even.
Yeah, not nailed, but like, you know, Eriksen, for example, we're just mentioning Eriksen, like he's someone like De Bruyne, right? I mean, we know that he's going to finish up on, you know, at least like 180 at the end of the season if he plays, if he stays fit. And like the earlier you can maybe just like figure out a way to set him in and just kind of leave him alone, you know, that's like something. That's a thing. So, I mean, I think that, I mean, I just think that spending time kind of looking and projecting who's going to be good is something that the FPL community in general doesn't really look at enough.
Right. So let's try and answer that though. So how do you go about trying to find those kind of who's the next trendy guy, who's going to be good for the next like 6 to 10, as opposed to just falling into like the, oh, I need to do everything to get Tammy and stuff like that. Like, what do you personally do?
Well, I mean, I think we always are kind of looking skeptically of the bandwagons, like always, yeah. Me and you, right? Like we're always like very critical of like, this guy's double or triple rising. And usually our default is like, that's dumb. He's not like, that's dumb kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's like stubbornness or like, we think we're smarter than everyone, maybe a little bit of both. And we're really just stupid. a little bit of all three of those things. Yeah, but In general, like, you know, Maitland-Niles before game week one, right? I mean, he was like under 1% owned. And, you know, we just kind of saw something there and, you know, he's playing out of position and, or not out of position, but he's playing very, you know, as an attacking fullback and they had a couple good fixtures and, you know, the pricers were like we're just, we really are mining, you know, the teams with somewhat good fixtures and looking at who no one's talking about, like Eriksen, right? I mean,
yeah.
I haven't seen Eriksen in a team since all year. Like, I don't think I've seen
December
anyone on Slack with Eriksen
or something.
Yeah, I just don't think that's happened. But like when you're looking, you know, Son's flashy, he's back, like, okay, cool. And then, you know, Kane, everyone's like, whatever, Kane. But, you know, I mean, Spurs, as you know, as much as I make fun of them, like they're still a good team and they're still a top four team, more or less top four team, and they're going to get points. And their fixtures are now starting to get like pretty good. You know, that's the kind of thing is looking at it like that, right? And like what I mentioned, Madison, right? I mean, he's not in any teams right now because their fixtures have been bad, but you know, the underlyings look okay. I mean, he's pretty central to what they do. Like getting him, you know, a week or two early and just setting the team up before he's going to have some price rises, et cetera. And he's, you know, he's going to return in their bad fixtures. Like he's just gonna. So like, those are the kind of things, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good thorough analysis. I think also Maitland-Niles is a good example, but the key with Maitland-Niles in preseason is that he paired with Soyuncu, who is also, you know, a fucking under 1% guy. And so someone actually was like shitting on me on Twitter. You know, I was out all day, so I didn't watch the Arsenal game, but someone was like, oh, like you still have Ainsley Maitland-Niles? Like, oh my God, like blah, blah, blah. That spot for me has been like 5 points per game between rotating Soy and AMN. It's been fucking amazing. It's had more points per game than like Trent. That spot for me has been. So it's not about just finding one differential guy and just riding that. I think it's about making sure the core base of your team, which obviously it's easier for me on wildcard than it is when you're just using one free a week, but kind of keeping the core, you know, safe, reliable guys in your team together, which again is, it goes back to like, this is why we have Mo, Raz, Kev over OBS, etc. And trying to get, you know, like the Pookies of the world in your team to build around. And then it's kind of taking that one, well, this is the 11th guy on my team. This is the 10th guy on my team who rotates well with the 12th guy on my team. It's a low risk spot, and there's no other safe, good option that I like alternative. So that's kind of, it's kind of matching like where you're taking your risks with and why you're taking a risk with like a spot on your team that allows you to take risk without punishing you, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And with defense too, it's a little bit, I guess, different. You're talking about the rotation. Like,
yeah,
you have to be really cautious about, you know, making sure that you're going to be getting the good fixtures for these cheaper rotating kind of players back there. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the answer.
Yeah.
Aaron, I hope you like that one, Aaron.
Danny Farmer on Slack, going to Champions League, Europa League, international breaks, how important is that third bench spot? Do you just risk it going with Cantwell, Lundstrom for rotation, hold your dick with Nketiah, Greenwood, and Wickham, or do you downgrade a high-priced defender to get a third forward like Maupay, Adams, Ings, Wesley for the next month or so for the main bench spot?
I don't think so, man. Third spot, I don't think until Christmas, you know, the Boxing Day, that whole nightmare, will you be getting your third bench guy off.
You still rarely do, I feel like.
Yeah, but it's just like, doesn't happen.
But that said, like, I'm personally on wildcard, like, I'm trying to prioritize having good bench guys. Like, I don't want to just go with, like, fucking garbage red flag championship players outside of Woodman. Because I know that rotation is coming. Like, there's going to be... Sterling is going to play 0 minutes in the next month or so. One of these games, he's going to play 0 minutes. Trent is going to also play 0 minutes. One of these games coming up. Might be this weekend. So I'm kind of trying to anticipate these things before they are disasters and try and get guys who are actually playing. Like, someone like... Even, like, Jordan Ayew, I've been kind of looking at just jamming him in my team.
Don't do it.
For a bench
spot. He's going to be on the bench soon.
Regardless, it's just an example. Like, that's a spot where I'm like, is it worth 0.7 to have a starting striker, even though he's not starting maybe anymore, just as an example, over a non-playing forward, and where can I, like, find the money to make that move? And I think there's a chance that it ends up paying me back big time, because when I get those zero-minute spots, I'm trying to have a starting attacker or something like that, or a good like fullback or something coming in. But, you know, we'll see. I'm sure by the end I'll have three red flag guys and just all my money on the pitch. But we got five more questions. Flem on Slack, who should we be targeting over the next 3 to 4 game weeks down back / which team / player do you trust and like the most over this small run? Anyone going on a big run that you like?
What are you, just like in the game, like in general?
I guess. I don't know how else to read that question.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, we mentioned Norwich. I still really believe that like they are real and they're going to put some of these
teams. Todd is the truth.
You gotta love Todd.
Gotta love Todd.
I love when he bitch slaps the fucking corner flag as his celebration. Yeah. Bitch slap the corner flag, like double X fucking heavy metal hand thing screaming at the top of his lungs. I absolutely love that.
I mean, I still think Wood points are coming.
Yeah, Burnley's fixtures are pretty silly.
Yeah. I mean, Colum, like, it must be said, he should be in more teams. He should be.
I started the season with him. All he's done is return every single week and price drop in price.
Like three times.
Three times, yeah.
He should just be in more teams. I mean, Southampton, West Ham, Arsenal, Norwich, Watford next five. Like, it's pretty good.
He's just
really
good.
Are you looking at him?
Good.
I mean, you should be looking at him, are you? Or what?
I haven't been, but maybe I should be.
Yeah, you should.
I'm like,
you
I'm really honestly like be. The main takeaway so far into this pod that I'm taking away is like, is Tammy definitely the guy? With his
what are you
like
talking in, about
just with his insane overperformance, Tammy, and like a mount injury and shit. I'm just like, is he actually just gonna like fall off a cliff in production? I'm not sure. What did you say? It was 8 shots on target, 7 goals.
That's correct.
Like, Jesus, I'm like, should I just be going like Callum? I don't know. It's stupid. It's like, it feels ridiculous to not go with Tammy on wildcard, and I probably will, but I'm, yeah, there's like Callum, Allaire. Pookie's nailed. He's not fucking moving.
Yeah, Pookie's nailed. I mean, I think it should probably be Tammy. It's still Chelsea, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's still, the thing with him is, you know, watching him, and we, you know, we've seen him a fair amount.
Yeah.
He's really good, and his
just really good.
His movement doesn't impress me in the terms of like pulling defenders and like creating space for others. But he like stands around like a little fucking piece of shit, and then he finds like this little spot to like go walk into, and the ball just comes to him.
Did you like, watch Match of the Day? His little segment, the like Tammy segment. After
I never watched the segments.
There was just one little thing that you would have loved where it was on his header goal, the Alonso assist this past weekend, yeah. Where he grabbed Cook's outstretched arm and just like tugged it, like just a little bit, just tugged on it, and then ran right in front of him and just put a bullet header in the corner. It's just like, oh my God, I love that. Just like,
yeah,
he's just a little clever fox in the box fucker. His techers are there. He's so looks so good.
Yeah, he's just good.
I do love him. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
But yeah,
but I mean, I think Callum over Allaire is definitely like a reasonable thing. I think.
Yeah.
It's like as good as Allaire looks. I mean, he's just oozes class every minute he plays. He's so much better than that team. It's ridiculous that he's on West Ham, but. You know, Callum just does the bits and scores the goals. Like, he's seen all these defenses multiple times, and he knows what it takes. And Allaire's still, like, you know, figuring that out, and the team is pretty schizophrenic.
Yeah, I mean, I said it in preseason when I started the season with Callum, but when he's fit, he just scores points.
Yeah, I mean,
it's been basically 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting to the... I mean, last season, right? I mean, I think I got Callum. Like, I had that, like, initial brace. Like, I was really early to him after he got back from injury, right? And I mean, I didn't have Fraze at all early, but I am, like, coming around full circle from just, like, the denial and, like, I hate Bournemouth to, like, they're good.
Yeah, I know.
And he's good.
They just Yeah, no, I totally know what you mean. I mean, this had all the makings of, like, a... Everton put Bournemouth to the sword. Everton are a legit, like, maybe sixth team or something like that. And Bournemouth just fucking do them.
Everton are a mess, as usual. What else is new? Water's what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, I guess that's Callum, I think, is someone that, again, you know, should be more teams. But otherwise, and, like, yeah, obviously Chris would love him. I mean, Ozil, I think, you know, he's going to start getting points, obviously. So good. That's about it for me. What about you?
Looking at fixtures. There's not that many. You know who have really, really good fixtures? Manchester City. Home Watford, away Everton, home Wolves, away Palace, home Villa.
I just don't know why he doesn't free Mahrez. He needs to be freed.
Home Southampton after that.
Bilva, I just don't understand why he keeps persisting with Bilva up top. Like, he's so out of position. I've been complaining about him in that position since the beginning of last year. I don't like him there.
Remember when people were like angrily arguing with me about Bernardo Silva in preseason starting their FPL teams with him?
Yeah,
that was a funny time to be alive. Yeah, I don't know. I love Bilva. I don't know.
Like him, but I just like don't like him in this spot, you know?
Yeah. You like him in midfield.
Yeah, I want him in... I don't know. Anyway.
I mean, if you're going to improve defensively... Playing Bilva in the David role is a big improvement defensively, I feel like. Anyway.
I don't understand how Gundogan ever starts a game in the league.
Gundogan and Otamendi, just best two players at Manchester City.
Good.
Marvin on Slack, should we be more broad in our captain choices? I feel many people are blanking, myself included, or perhaps do we just go perma-captain to avoid the headache? It's so annoying. Perma-captain is just destroying everyone who's rotating between Salah and Sterling.
Yeah, I mean, should we second-guess everything because, like, Raz blanks home Brighton at Norwich? Like, no, I don't know. I mean, yeah. Mo is really consistent, and we know that, but you still are trying to spike the monster scores, and, you know, normally it's not going to be when they're against the bus or Arsenal, another top four. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we just keep doing what we do, right? It's, there's nothing with greater variance than captaincy in the game.
Yeah, there's so much luck in captaincy. It's ridiculous.
It's just so, yeah, it's just, it's really.
I hate that people, like, don't acknowledge that as much as they should. It's so much luck. Let's see. All right, Kev IRL with a big one. A lot of talk on pods and articles the game is about getting the best marginal players. Assuming that players don't really change their premiums. However, with premium scoring so heavily, should we be willing to move them on quicker, even though they have decent stats, but the fixtures or setup of a different premium seem to look good? Seems to be way too much focus on the shite and ignoring the big point scorers.
I mean, I guess my answer is no. I mean, that's not really how I play.
I just don't think transferring premiums in and out is good. Like, give me an example of when it's good.
Like, I mean, an example of when it would be good is if we look back in game week 13 and Obbs got like 35 more points than like Mo.
Yeah, yeah, right. The only way it looks good is in hindsight, in a very specific example. Yeah.
Yes, yes. That's a problem, probably, right?
Yeah. Damn, yeah. I mean, the fixtures are bad for Mo. Still,
and I mean, again, yeah. I mean, we've talked about this point, but just again, the good teams are good against anyone, but bad teams are only good against other bad teams. So the fixtures matter a lot more when you're predicting, you know, points for players on bad teams than they do for good teams and good players, because Mo will brace against Arsenal, but when Burnley play them or something, like Wood or Barnes is probably going to do shit. But when they play Norwich or West Ham, like, then maybe they'll get points. But when they play Spurs and United, they're going to be shit and they're going to get dominated. So, I mean, that's the basic premise of, like, why we, I think, don't do it.
Well, the other thing is also just, that means you're not moving on someone else. That's a big standout to me, too. It's like, sure, you could, like, double swap Mo to Obbs. You're basically wasting a transfer. I mean, maybe you have Mount injury and two frees, and so you're not wasting a transfer. You're redistributing your funds. You're upgrading your midfield, getting Obbs. Like, fine. That's a specific example. Maybe it's fine. But if we're just talking about, like, okay, well, now City have a good run and Liverpool have a bad run, so I'm going to do Mo to Raz because you don't want to have both of them. Well, now you're not fixing Mount. Now you're not fixing your shitty defense. You're not getting a good forward or something like that. And you're just swapping between the two best players in the game. So I don't like that either.
Yeah. I guess with captaincy could be one. Like, if you're like, I'm definitely want Obbs because I'm going to captain him like four of the next seven. And it rotates well with like player Y on your team. Like, I guess that's the thing, but I guess I just, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I should probably look at that. Like,
yeah, you should spend time on it.
I definitely owe it to my wild card to look at Obbs over Mo, and look at it, especially from a captaincy perspective, especially with Raz's inconsistency, and maybe I'll end up getting there, but my preliminary
I would look at him over Raz, not Mo.
Yeah, maybe that is the better one. I just feel like I'll obviously want Raz back very soon. And these fixtures, I just named the fixtures. They're stupid for City. They're best in the league, maybe, for the next six.
I mean,
you know.
All right, let's get out of here. We're getting long.
Yeah, we're getting quite long. Yeah. All right. What are you looking at for captaincy?
I'm probably gonna go to Raz for a third time in a row. And
really,
Chelsea. Like, I mean, my initial reaction was like, okay, I'm gonna just go back to Mo, but the fixtures are still not close. I mean, I get it. Chelsea are like leaky, and you know they don't look like they're defending at all, but still going to Stamford Bridge. I mean, that's still a tough fixture. I mean, home Watford, City, I expect to have a reaction in the league, rock it up their ass. I don't know. I just don't think home Watford and at Chelsea are close.
They're not.
Really is what it comes down to. So I think I'm just going to stick with fucking failing and go with Raz again, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
I
don't hate it. It's just like it bums me out.
Yeah, I'm sad.
Yeah, I'm sad about that too. Yeah, I mean, I'm on Kevin right now. Like, I just captained Kevin last week too, so I'm in the same fucking boat. I like the idea of captaining Kev over Raz right now. I think he's just been way better. But you know, obviously Kev didn't start, so I got fucked. But
it's just the goals. Like, I just, the goals with Kevin just gets to me.
Yeah. And yeah, no, I understand it. But yeah, I mean, Arsenal home Villa is probably the standout fixture. So, you know, this is an example of something where I should analyze, like, well, is it worth captaining Obbs over a City player? Is that?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think so.
I mean, I feel like Obbs is more reliable, but with a much lower ceiling.
Villa fucking shat on West Ham.
Yeah, Villa have been good, but only at home, really, I feel like.
Yeah. I don't know. They fucking dominated us. We scored some fucking bullshit, like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Fuck, dude. I'm so bad. I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, bro. I'm going to give you a big pat on the back as soon as you land in New York.
I need it.
I need it. Yeah, it's hard to do captains when I don't know my fucking team yet. So moving on.
Don't forget, we have a Friday game too. So you gotta.
Oh, yeah, I hate that.
Yeah.
Wow, so I'm going to just get no work done this week, huh? With Champions League and Friday match and everything?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Just a few new signups this week on our Patreon. Also, something to look ahead to. We're going to do some new Patreon stuff, including like merch and additional pods in October. So something to look forward to. You know, even though FPL is bad and brings us to the darkness, there's something there to look forward to. But three new signups, new ass laps this week. We got Steve Sutton, Miguel Garcia, and Pat Dowling. Welcome. Nice to get and in I guess there and suck that ass.
Next pod's going to be an IRL with producer and Dare.
Yeah, no guest Jason, which is a huge no guest bummer. Jason. But yeah, I think Tuesday IRL pod. I'll try and like do some Instagram content or something, like post some vids of us in the studio, which will be enjoyable. But
get like a close up of Derek like drinking water.
I should just like wear a GoPro,
just look at Derek the whole time.
Yeah, just stare at Derek's hair and immaculate skin the entire time.
Before we go, I mean, we haven't really talked too much about your wild card other than like a few little bits and bobs, but do you want to talk about it at all? I mean, you mentioned like you had Sonnen as a diff or whatever, but like you're still looking at like Trent and the usual suspects in midfield, Pookie. I mean, it sounds like you're really down to like four-ish decisions.
Yeah, I am. I feel like I am. I mean, so Gunn and Pope is like sort of a toss-up and like barely matters, I feel like. So that I don't really count as a decision. Right now I'm on Pookie, Tammy, and I don't know what I'm going to do at forward, third forward. And then I have Mo, Raz, Kevin, Cantwell, and I don't know what I'm going to do at fifth mid. It was Sun, but I'm kind of tinkering without Sun now. In defense, I'm on Trent, Vert, Lotan, Lundstrom, Rico, which just seems correct to me. Just seems good. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. So decisions to be made are like kind of Allaire, Callum, Sun, Eriksen, And maybe like shift around a little bit of money around that. Because if I go with obviously the way cheaper forward option over like Sun, then maybe I can get another like Liverpool defender or something like that. So that's something to look for. But yeah, that's mostly what I'm playing with right now.
Yeah, like if you put in like Callum or Allaire and then you go...
Yeah, if I put in Callum, I have 5-7 in the bank. So if that's a 4-5 mid, then I have 1.2 in the bank.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so yeah, I mean, it's you're pretty close.
Yeah, I feel pretty close.
I think that sounds... Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, it feels good. I do have that like sort of nagging... reserved for FPL only feeling of like, yeah, Mo's that does have a really good a bad fixture on, and Obbs does have a good one, but I feel like I gotta like stick to my guns here.
So, well, what you said earlier about like feeling like you're gonna still be missing a guy or two,
that would be
awesome. I think you should really look at that and like look at like what could go wrong to make you not like your team in 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, that is a good way to look at it.
Yeah, and like decide if, you know, you should preempt that or if the chances are slim enough that it's worth the risk or something like that, right?
Right, and I think going without Mo, Raz, Kevin, I think all of those would be hugely flagged up in that analysis. I think that if someone else sent me their final wildcard team on Friday morning and didn't have any of those players, that's the first thing I would say. It's just like, oof, that feels bad.
Like, you should have all three.
Like, yeah, you should probably have all three, or maybe Mane, like, if that, but that's tough. That's really tough.
Yeah.
And so, for that reason, I don't know. There's no, again, we have the same problem as we had last season, but there's no midfielder to get because Ozil's not nailed and no one else does any attacking stuff. So, it's like Obbs or Pepe, I guess, is nailed, but I don't know.
I mean, at his price, it's just looking more and more like what is happening.
Yeah, because I could fit him in easily. I have Son in right now.
Same as Son. He was like, he took a step back this weekend. I'll just say that against Watford. He looked real bad.
That's a bummer. Yeah, I didn't watch that, so it's harder to tell in highlights.
He looked very bad.
I mean, the bees were buzzing at the fortress of Vicarage Road. Must be said. Good. The pit stands on Kike Sanchez's floors were
he went like shirt and then sweater and it was just like, bro, like it's always hot as balls.
Preppy ass like sweater cross the arms over your shoulders thing. It doesn't matter if it's 9,000 degrees outside.
The pit stains though, I mean, you look like me out there. I mean, and it was also, I think he trimmed up his neck beard, like he had less hair like connecting to his chest hair.
Yeah, that's,
which is also
that's
like
trend
that's
now.
Like a to have it connected or to not have it connected.
Not have it connected.
Okay, so I need to get with it. My hair is just like all.
Well,
over
no, because me and you think kind of outside the box. So what's the trend like 6 game weeks from now? Is kind of what we're.
It's gonna be like wax Brazilian wax your face or whatever.
Maybe Pepe would make me happy. It's possible.
If you get Pepe in, I'll fucking -12 Ozil in solidarity.
It might make me happy. Watch, Pepe is going to start and play 90 in Europa. That's nailed.
If that happens, then there's no way you can get him.
Of course.
I mean, he has to play like people on Thursday.
Yeah, he should be playing Martinelli, Nketiah, Reece Nelson, Willick.
Dude, he can't play Necktie. He's on Leeds.
Whatever the fuck, dude. Play him anyway.
He's not even on the team.
Okay, play him.
Do you want them to like get Woodman like on a transfer from another Prem
Woodman,
team from the championship?
Bring in Martinez and goal. Bring Monreal back from Sociedad.
Put Nasri out there with fucking Arteta.
Yeah, Fabregas makes his glorious return.
Koscielny at striker.
Yeah, Vieira in there holding. It's just. Just anything but the starters, please God, Emery. And he might get sacked. He's like 2 weeks away from getting sacked, potentially.
No, there's no way.
Yeah, yeah.
No, dude.
Listen, if they don't get a result against home Villa and then they can lose away Manchester United after that, I think he's gone.
No.
Actual.
No. Arsenal don't operate in that way.
I mean, yeah, I guess they held on to Wenger for a long time.
They don't. Then that's not what they're going to do.
I don't know. He's on a fucking tightrope.
See, this is a problem. We start talking like this, then I start thinking like, well, I want to have fun. Like, you're going to have fun with Pepe. Like, and then I start clicking around, and Ulta's on my team, and I'm like, fuck, it's only game week four or whatever. What is it, game week five? It's game week six.
Yeah, don't do it.
And I'm already, like, putting Ozil in. It's like,
no, don't do that.
What is happening?
That's bad. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just don't know anymore. All right, should we get out of here?
Yeah, I just want to give you a hug when I see you soon.
I mean, we're like 72 hours away.
Oh, it's going to be great.
Check us out at fmlfield.com. Follow on Twitter at fmlfield. Support us at patreon.com/fmlfield. Subscribe, rate, review, and cheers!